And get your Bible. Go to the book of Acts chapter. Acts chapter number 9. We're going to look at a few verses here and give you a few thoughts the Lord has laid on our heart. Pray for us. Since Sunday, our voice has not recovered real well. And sure could use a touch from the Lord even tonight. The book of Acts chapter number 9. We're going to pick up our reading and read three or four verses here, beginning in verse number 32. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." I want to preach tonight for just a little while on the thought, kick it up a notch. Kick it up a notch, all right? You can be seated this evening. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are thankful, Lord, one more time to be able to pray. We know this evening, Lord, without you, Lord, we can't do what you've called us to do. Lord, we've never been able to do it in the power of the flesh. And Lord, be, Lord, a help to the people of God. And Lord, tonight it'll be no different. And so, Father, I pray for a few minutes. Would you put your hand upon us one more time? Lord, I pray you touch my mind. Lord, touch my voice and my mouth and the words that we speak. Lord, I pray that we would speak as though we were, the very voice of God for this generation tonight. Lord, I know folk have come in tonight. They're weary and tired as we are. But Lord, they've made the sacrifice to be here. And so, Lord, I pray this evening you'd give them attentive ears and may truth find a lodging place in their heart. And may we all be determined tonight, Lord, not just to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. And Lord, we'll thank you again for all that you do tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. I don't think it's an overstatement to say that when we read the book of Acts, these are exciting times for the early church. The things that are going on, the things they're seeing, the things they're hearing, the things that have been opened up to their understanding is no doubt an exciting time to be a part of the church. And I'm not saying today's not exciting. Today's exciting times. Amen. That they're in the early days, in the first days of the church. Brother Sam, we're in the last days of the church, and these surely are exciting times. But just as we read the scripture and these openings, especially these opening several chapters of the book of Acts, we find that there's a lot of things happening, a lot of activity, a lot of things that God is doing, a lot of things they're taking in. And I can't imagine what that had been like, Brother Mike, to be a part of those early days. And you're witnessing these things and what that would have been like probably would have about made you explode, being so excited to see the hand of God and the power of the Spirit of the Lord at work during those days. And we come to Acts chapter number 9. A lot of good things is happening in Acts chapter number 9. In fact, it opens with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who is later going to be that one sent out, renamed the Apostle Paul, that is going to bring the gospel to you and I, the Gentile world. And what a chapter that is, and important to you and I, his conversion and the things that God did with Saul in those early days of his faith. There is, interestingly, in Acts chapter number 9, the next several midway through Acts 9, And the next several chapters, you're going to find the Spirit of the Lord emphasizing the ministry of Peter. And Peter is going to go to Joppa after the text that we read. In fact, he's on his way there when we read the text verses that we read this evening. And I found that pretty interesting in that Joppa is that place that the Lord, when he spake to Jonah to go to Nineveh, a Gentile city, and preach there the word of the Lord and call them to the, amen, to the repentance and call them back to God, that Jonah in rebellion went to Joppa and bought himself a boat ticket and a boat ride to go, amen, far away even to Tarshish. And so, we find here that later on the Lord is going to send Paul to the Gentiles. But even before that, Peter is going to go to the house of Cornelius. Amen. Again, a Gentile place, a Gentile region, a Gentile man. And some interesting things. I'm thinking on some things I don't really want to bog down in that, other than to say there is some great things that Peter's going to do that will transition into the ministry of Paul and Barnabas and going to the Gentile nations. Now, when we're introduced here again back to Peter and the emphasis is put upon his ministry, we come to verse number 32. While Peter is passing throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelled at Lydda. And so Peter is on this mission. He's going around his ministry for the most part thus far through the opening chapters of the book of Acts has confined him primarily to Jerusalem. He finds himself going down to Samaria and preaching, and he's going to begin to check on some churches that have been planted in various cities and saints and congregations that are doing the work of the Lord. And as an apostle, no doubt he's going to give them truth and he's going to check on them and make sure they're doing the work of the Lord in a proper way. And in this text, we find that he comes to this place known as Lydda. It's interesting to know this place, Lydda, and there's no record of a church having ever been established in this place, and yet Peter went there, and the Bible said there were saints that were there, and even on into the second century, according to church history, there was a very strong Christian presence that abounded in this town, and so that leads us to think either this church was started out of what took place at Pentecost, and maybe some citizens of that city had been there and converted and baptized and maybe spent some time in Jerusalem under the ministry of the apostles and had gone back and established a church there in their hometown. We don't know that. The other maybe option would be, and probably in my mind, Brother Mike, the most likely option was when Philip had preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. After having been in Samaria and the revival that took place, he converts the Ethiopian to Christ, and there the Spirit of the Lord calls him away, and it plainly says that he began to preach in the cities that were round about. And if you'll study that region, likely where that took place, Lydda would have probably been in those region of cities that Philip the evangelist had preached, and probably this ministry was started there. In my study, I believe it's been several years since this church has been established. If you go back, if it was started out of Pentecost, you'll understand that it's been about 10 years has gone by that this church has been established and converted in this city. And now Peter coming by, no doubt an established congregation, a place that no doubt had so much Christianity in it that the Bible said that Peter was checking on the saints, that dwelt at Lita, that is, their lives had been changed. Somebody asked me just recently, what is the difference in being saved and being a saint? And that's a good question, ain't it? Amen. There's not, amen, a whole lot of difference other than this. You ain't a saint if you ain't saved. Amen. Being saved speaks about what God has done for us, Christ has done for us. And being a saint, I think, speaks about our responsibility with that salvation. Amen. To live a sanctified and a holy life. And there's a lot of folk, maybe they're saved, but they ain't got a lot of saintliness to them. And shame on all of us. If we're saved, we ought to be shooting to be, amen, known as a saint. Amen. Not a holier than thou, but just somebody, amen, who has had a change and a sanctified holy life being lived out daily. And I digress on that. Let me give you my thought here. It's while visiting this church and Peter meets a man there that the Bible said in verse number 33 had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Now, Brother A.L., when you study this out, you'll find, and it's inferred here, that his issue of palsy dealt with some sort of paralysis that kept this man from being able to move about on his own 2 feet. He had lost mobility. In fact, the word palsy that is used here also means feeble kneed, crippled, or lame. And so this man, he's kept his bed, he's laid around on his bed, he ain't been able to move around, he's had to be a burden to somebody else to be carried around. His life is, can we say, lethargic. His life is being lived stationary. His life is being lived without any activity. And no doubt in my mind, and there's some debate, if you'll read commentators, you'll find, and some say this was a lost man, some say he was a saved man, but I want to look at him tonight as a picture to you and I of a saint of God who has for 8 years been stagnant and lethargic and stuck in a rut and unable to do anything other. He's just kind of got in a rut, if you will, and he's been that way for 8 years. He can't kick around at it. He can't move his knees. He can't stand on his own 2 feet. My friend, he just is there, and he ain't able to do nothing. He's just stuck. Amen. Until Peter came by and is going to help him. Amen. Kick it up a notch. Amen. I heard an illustration some time ago about I think fits even directly with the thought tonight that, hey man, that y'all remember that chef that was on TV many years ago? I think his name was Emeril, and Emeril was known. His little niche was taking some common recipe, some everyday recipe, and he would take it and he would begin to add his own flair to it. Everybody remembers he'd throw something in the pan. And he'd go bam, and there's bam in everything, and all kinds of recipes. But what he was doing, he was kicking it up a notch. He was taking something that was just mundane, something that was just average, something that had that my friend didn't have a lot of flavor, a lot of flair, or a lot of standout to it. And just by doing a few things, he was kicking it up a notch. And making it above average and making it something that that everybody wanted to have a part of or a taste of. And I think when we think about our Christian life, hey man, it is so easy sometimes to just kind of get stagnant and get to a place where, hey man, we just kind of sat down and lethargic and we kind of lose the zeal and the fervor and the activity, and we kind of just get to a place where, if we'll be honest about it, we just need to kick it up a notch. And you say, how do you know that? 'Cause I've been there. Hey man, I've been there where you just kind of get comfortable laying around it and just comfortable where you're at doing what you've always done. And yeah, there are times the Holy Ghost will come back and show you you need to kick it up a notch. And so I would ask us tonight, hey man, when's the last time we kicked it up a notch? We interestingly find in the book of Acts three times that lame men were healed. You remember in Acts chapter number 3, Peter and John coming out of the temple came across a lame man that had been lame all of his life. And there he was begging for alms, and Peter the Baptist apostle that he was, a man said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And the Bible said that that man, when he got up and began to walk, hey man, listen, he didn't just kind of, hey man, stumble around. Oh no, the Bible said when they saw him, hey man, he was leaping. He was kicking his feet in the air. Hey man, he was enjoying that, hey man, that power that he got by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen, to help him kick it up a notch. Amen, you'll read that in the days of the Apostle Paul, that he actually healed a man who had been lame. And when he was called upon to rise and walk, the Bible said that man leaped up. Amen, what was he doing? He was kicking it up a notch. Amen, he had got in a place where he couldn't do it himself. And I think that's, I'm getting ahead of myself, but hey man, we got to understand that, hey man, we can't stay stale and we can't stay stuck in a rut. Hey man, I would say tonight there may be some folk, you've been saved in many years, and 8 years or more than 8 years you've been stuck in the same old rut spiritually. Hey man, you've been kind of lame and palsied when it comes to your spiritual life. Maybe tonight, hey man, we need to kick it up a notch in our prayer life. Hey man, you've been saying the same old 5-minute prayers for years and years. Hey man, they ain't doing nothing for you, and they sure ain't doing nothing in heaven. And they ain't doing nothing for nobody around you. When are you going to say, Lord, help me kick it up a notch? And maybe tonight some need to kick it up a notch in praise. And that friend, worship it, and giving God the glory that He deserves. Amen. Maybe it's been years you just kind of come in and take your seat and go through the motions. And you still pick up your hymn book and you mouth the words, but amen, when's the last time it meant anything to you? And when's the last time that, amen, you come in and it was beyond the average? It was beyond the normal, and it was beyond the way that it's been the last weeks or months or years. Amen, what are you saying, preach? I'm saying every now and then, amen, we got to kick it up a notch. Amen, worship the Lord as He deserves. Amen, maybe tonight we need to kick it up a notch when it, amen, comes to a burden for sinners. Amen, I believe that's one of the easiest places of our lives of as a disciple to get stagnant and stale and just, amen, kind of go through life and coast spiritually, yet a little concerned for ourselves, and thankful for our church and our little old preacher. And we forget there's a whole world out there that, amen, friend, needs the Lord and needs, amen, disciples of Christ that have kicked it up a notch in their burden for Him. Amen, maybe tonight some need to kick it up a notch. Amen, when it comes to their, amen, their giving and their tithes and offerings and faith promise. Amen, if you're not careful, I know, because I'm just like the rest of us, all right? And sometimes we just kind of get, amen, in that rut, and we throw it in and we don't even give any consideration. Amen, no zeal about it. We're just on autopilot. Amen, been given the same thing for so long that, Amen. It's just become mundane. Well, amen, maybe tonight we need to kick it up a notch. Amen. Y'all get the point tonight. It can be. Amen. Dozens of things tonight. Amen. Maybe in the matter of separation and standards and holiness. Amen. We need every now and then to kick it up a notch. Amen. In these days, it seems like, amen, there's so many that are saying, well, we're in the last days and the world's way over here. And so, if we're going to reach the world, we got to, you know, kind of let up in some areas. But, amen, I would argue the worse the world gets, the more, amen, we ought to be kicking it up a notch and saying that, amen, I want to do all I can to stand down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, kicking it up a notch. Amen, when's the last time? Amen, you kicked it up a notch in your spiritual life. Let me give you a few things here this evening. Well, let me give you one more. Amen, now one more little thought. And can I say tonight? Amen, you and I kicking it up a notch is a personal matter. Right. Yep. Amen, your pastor can't kick it up a notch for you. And your spouse can't kick it up a notch for you. And whoever you got a problem with, amen, them somehow in your mind getting straightened out, that won't kick it up a notch for you. Amen. Notice what Peter said. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, in other words, my friend is calling upon him in a personal way. And can I say tonight, it would be a wonderful thing if the Holy Ghost would point out some area of our life. Amen. Maybe where we've gone cold and got average, have lost our fire and our zeal, my friend, the Holy Ghost would call us out personally. Amen. And call us by name and put their finger, Brother Jared, put his finger upon that area of our life where we need to kick it up a notch. It is a personal matter. Amen. It ain't the church's fault if you stay where you're at. Amen. If you ain't got revival tonight, it ain't the preacher's fault. And my friend, it ain't your boss's fault. It ain't your family's fault. This thing is a personal matter. Amen. We've lost sight of personal accountability in these days. Amen. We point fingers. Amen. There's no indication what. Amen. Made Brother Larry made in this. Amen. A palsied man. It doesn't say he was this way from birth. And it had been this way for 8 years. I don't know if it's a stroke or if it was some sort of medical issue or some sort of injury. Amen. But whatever it is, amen, listen, he ain't going to be able to kick it up a notch if he, amen, doesn't allow this thing that's about ready to happen to get personal in his life. Amen. You got to let it get personal to you. So, amen, right there. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, amen. Now, let me give you some things about kicking it up a notch. Amen. Let me say, number one, there is an omnipotence that is exalted. There is an omnipotence that is exalted. After 8 years, this boy, one thing I think we can say, amen, is that it has been proven, amen, he cannot do this by his own power. He can't change his situation. Whatever it is that has started this, amen, and created this in his life, amen, he ain't going to be able to reason his way out of it. He ain't going to be able to talk himself into moving his feet. My friend Peter hit it on the head when Peter said, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. In other words, Peter is saying, if there's any hope for you, amen, you're going to have to let the power of Christ touch your life. You're going to have to let an omnipotence, amen, is sovereign and is divine and heavenly, began to move in your life again. Aeneas, you have proved that you cannot do anything about this in yourself. Why, you've asked everybody in the world to pray for you, and you've asked every doctor in town and in the region
things beyond. If there's any hope for your situation, and in this, the only hope you've got is that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ would be allowed to be exalted in your life. And I say, when it comes to this matter of kicking it up a notch, amen, I'm not talking about a fleshly show. Amen, I'm not talking about you doing a little better, amen, tomorrow than you did today. I'm talking about the divine power of Almighty God being allowed to be exalted in our life. Amen, we're mad friend. We know the strength that, amen, comes by His grace. And we know the feeling and the power that comes by His touch. Amen, what Peter is saying is, amen, all I can do is preach to you. All I can do is give you the message. But in this, if anything is going to happen in your life, if your feeble knees are going to be kicking again, if you're going to kick it up a notch, it will be by Jesus Christ being allowed to work in your life. Amen. Why is it that some folk can't ever get over what they're going through? Amen. It's because they try to reason it out. They try to figure it out. And my friend, can I say, amen, and I'm learning this. I'm no expert in it. I am learning it. I'm still growing in it. I'm still being discipled in it. Amen. But if you're going to go on, my friend, and kick it up a notch, and my friend, it must be the power of Christ being allowed to be exalted in your life. There's an omnipotence that is exalted. And I say tonight, wherever you are, amen, there's nothing Jesus Christ cannot do for you. Amen. The preacher may not convey it. Amen. He may not even have the words to be able to identify, amen, with you in the state that you've arrived in. Buddy, I'm telling you, I'm glad there's a God in glory. Amen. He's not only omnipotent, amen, but thank God He's omniscient. Amen. And Jesus knew where Aeneas was. And Jesus knew what got him in the shape that he was in. And Jesus knew what he was going to take. Amen. To bring him back upright. Amen. And him to kick it up a notch. But Aeneas is going to have to allow the power of Christ, amen, to bring him along and bring him to this place of kicking it up a notch. Amen. One of the things I'm afraid we as fundamentalists, amen, independent Baptist said that we maybe have presented the Christian life as though it can be done. And I'm not downplaying choices and decisions. Will, amen, see personal responsibility here in a moment. Amen. But can I say, all that you can do, I don't care how godly it looks, I don't care how spiritual it looks, anything that you can do without the power of Christ, amen, it is nothing, and it will not last, and it will not be productive. Amen. It will not bring about what this ultimately brought about. Amen. We must be dependent on that omnipotent hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. I say an omnipotence that is exalted. Amen. Let me just say here, amen, aren't you glad tonight we've got a Savior who has all power in heaven and in earth? Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, you can say, oh, preacher, I've tried that and it ain't worked. Amen. Well, if you tried it and it ain't worked, then you ain't really tried it. Amen. Our God, He's either got the ability, amen, to make something out of us and bring us along and raise us up. Or, my friend, we're serving a dead God. But I'm glad tonight, amen, that Jesus Christ has unlimited omnipotent power. And omnipotence that is exalted. Amen. Number two, consider with me. Amen. If you're going to kick it up a notch, amen, I see in this text there are orders that are expounded. Amen. Yes, it is going to take Christ. It begins with Christ, and by the way, it'll end with Christ. But my friend, listen, that doesn't mean there are not some commands that we must follow. And so Peter said in the yes, amen, Amen. Jesus Christ making thee whole. And if you let Jesus work in your life, if you let Christ be magnified in your body, if you let Him in your place of being average and mundane and stagnant and lethargic and inactive, then He'll do something for you. But if He's going to do something for you, you need to understand there's some things you need to do for Him. Amen. And the first thing that He says, amen, the first order that is expounded, amen, Jesus Christ making thee whole. Number one, your responsibility is arise. Amen. In other words, you ain't been making very many stands lately. Amen. It's time to make a stand for Christ. Amen. Can I say, amen, you can kick it up a notch tonight. Amen. If the power of Christ will enable you, amen, you can follow His command to stand. Amen. Stand, Paul said over and over and over. Amen. Withstand, Paul said, in the evil day. And we're living in the evil times, in the evil days. And we're living in days of spiritual warfare. Amen. And oh, if you're not careful, we'll let the battle that rages cause you and I, amen, to lay down and be feeble nay. Amen. But that is not the will of God tonight. Amen. We have orders from the Word of God. Amen. To arise and stand in the ground and for the cause of Christ in these days. Amen. When's the last time you made a stand for Christ? Amen. When's the last time you didn't fold everything that came your way? Amen. Boy, this generation, they're good. Amen. And blaming this and blaming that. Amen. Blaming the devil, blaming culture, blaming society, blaming circumstances, blaming temptation. Amen. But when are we going to learn? Amen. That kicking it up a notch has something to do with you and I making a stand for Christ. When's the last time you stood against temptation? Amen. Y'all quiet in here tonight. When's the last time, amen, that temptation came to you and you was able to rise and stand and resist it? Amen. There are orders that are expounded it. And a lot we could say tonight about arise. Amen, arise. Let me give you this thing, because I like the second command that is here. Amen, the second part of the orders that are expounded. He not only said arise, but He said, and make thy bed. Amen, kind of late. Amen, Miss Katie has to tell, amen, Sam sometimes, amen, or more than sometimes, make thy bed. Amen. Amen. It's interesting that when Christ in His earthly ministry, He healed a lame man one day. You remember what He said? He said, arise, take up thy bed, not make thy bed, take up thy bed and walk. Here, Peter doesn't say, take up your bed. He said, make thy bed. Amen. When you tell somebody to make their bed, what you tell them is clean up your mess. You've made a mess around here. You got clutter everywhere, and Christ is going to work in your life, and you've got to rise, but you ain't going to go nowhere with all the mess you got laying around everywhere. Come on now. Amen. A lot of folk, man, I'm telling you, amen, the Lord begins to move in their life and begins to awaken some things and raise some things in their life. But because they won't deal with the clutter and won't clean up their mess, amen, they ain't going to be able to kick it up a notch for long. Amen. Sometimes you got to clean up your mess. Amen. And nobody could clean it up for him. Amen. Peter didn't say, hey, you deacons, get over here and help him make his bed. Amen. Amen. Peter didn't say, amen, the pastor down there, the saints of Lita, amen, get over here now and you help him and hold his hand. Amen. And help him make his bed. No. Amen. It is his personal responsibility, amen, to take care of his own mess. His mom and daddy wasn't told to do it. His siblings weren't told to do it. Amen. His best buddies weren't told to do it. Amen. If he's going to get out of this, kicking it up a notch. Amen. Yes, Christ has got to move. Yes, the power of the Lord has got to work in his life. And yes, there's got to be some things that are raised and awakened and stands he's got to make. But Brother Riley, Peter said, make that bed, clean your mess up now.
Amen. A lot of folk can't kick it up a notch because they don't even want to acknowledge the mess they've made. Amen. They'll go on 8 years, and after 8 years, they'll go on 9 years, and after 9 years, they'll go on 10 years, and 10 will turn into 20, and before you know it, amen, they'll be leaving this world with the same old mess and the same stagnant place. Amen. In the same spiritual condition that they've been in so long because they don't want to clean up their mess. Amen. Is that right? That's good preaching on a Wednesday night. I can't wait to preach this Monday night down there. I'm leaving a lot out. I don't know how in the world I'm going to get it in 30 minutes. Probably I ain't. Amen. The orders that are expounded, the omnipotence that is exalted. Amen. What's this now? Amen. Kick it up a notch. Amen. Number three, I see there's an obedience that is expected. I love this. Brother Mark, the Bible said, and he arose immediately. In other words, he heard the message. He got a hold of the fact that it was Christ and was going to have to do this. He understood that Christ had to be exalted. He's willing for that. He's willing to follow those orders that have been expounded. Amen. To this place where obedience that is expected out of him is literally what's going to help him kick it up a notch. Can I say today, at the end of the day, it don't have to be so hard. You say, preacher, how do I kick it up a notch? How do I do that? Just obey what you told. Yeah. Obedience. He didn't argue. He didn't say, Peter, I've tried that. Peter, I've prayed. Others have prayed over me. My preacher has told me and preached to me yet, and expounded to me yet. And this church, they've been my friends. And Peter, you just don't understand. It ain't going to work. What you're saying, that may work back yonder years ago. Amen. In the days of Christ, but that don't work. No, this man immediately fell in line with the commands that Christ had given him. Amen. Obedience that is expected. You want to kick it up a notch? Amen. Obey what Jesus tells you to do. Number four, and I'm done. Notice the outcome that is exciting. The Bible said, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and what did they do? And turned to the Lord. You see, by this man being submitted and obeying, this man allowing Christ to be magnified in his stagnant situation, he has kicked it up a notch. And when he kicked it up a notch, Brother A.L., there was others around that said, we're going to turn to the Lord too. Amen. And if it impacted, no doubt, sinners. I don't know if you understand that we're King James only, and we major on every word that's in the Word of God. And when the Word of God said, now don't miss it now, and all, you say, preacher, what's all mean in the Greek? Amen. Y'all ready for this? It means all. All means every last loving one of them. Amen. All means every individual that had a mind, amen, that had eyes to see and a mind to comprehend that had Christ done something in this man, and this man had it been stale and stagnant and lethargic and inactive and had gotten used to things being that way in his life,
Now he's up running around, kicking it. Hey, amen. I mean, his knees ain't feeble. Hey, he's rejoicing and leaping and active for the cause of Christ. Everybody who could discern what that was said, I'm turning to the Lord. Some people say, now I'm done right here. Some people say, my casual Christianity doesn't affect anybody but me. Now I want to say tonight, you couldn't be further from the truth. Because when you kick it up a notch, it's going to bear an influence in somebody else's life. Hey, man, you know what Newport needs tonight? Needs Calvary Baptist Tabernacle to kick it up a notch. Amen. You know what my family and your family needs, sir? Needs for us to kick it up a notch. Amen. You know what children need tonight? They need some mamas and grandmamas that, and my friend, are going to kick it up a notch. And you know what this generation needs in these days? Amen. You young folk, listen, this generation today, your generation, amen, needs some young folk who's going to kick it up a notch. Amen. And when you let Christ be exalted in you, amen, allow and listen and hear and take in, amen, the orders that are expounded in obedience and is expected, is lived out, there will be an outcome that is exciting. Amen. I'm not saying everybody in Newport will be one to God, but surely if we kick it up a notch, surely we could get one or two here and there. Amen. Maybe, Brother Gerald, maybe the reason they ain't more sinners getting saved is they look at our life and they go, man, they've been the same. And I don't mean uncompromisingly, but they ain't enjoying their Christianity any more today than they were when I knew them bored out of their mind with it 5 years ago. Billy Mitchell said a woman come up to him one time. I think I've told y'all this, but Brother Mitchell said a woman come up to him one day after a message, after a revival service, and said, Brother Mitchell, when are more sinners going to get saved? Boy, that's a big question. A lot of answers probably we could give to it. You know what Brother Mitchell told her? Now, y'all would argue with me. You wouldn't dare argue with what Billy Mitchell said. You know what Brother Mitchell said, told that woman? He said, ma'am, when more saved folk get excited about being saved. You know really what he was telling her? When you and the rest of us kick it up a notch, it'll be seen by the world and they'll want what we have. Amen. When's the last time you kicked it up a notch? Prayer life, worship life, burden for sinners, holiness, giving. I mean, add five more to it, Brother Jerry. Find five more areas of your life. When's the last time you kicked some things up a notch in your spiritual life? Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. I'm thankful for the word of the Lord, thankful for this little thought. And Lord, it's helped me, Lord, the last couple of days as we have been studying it. And Lord, just felt like it'd be something good to share with our own church. And Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you'd work it in our hearts. Lord, as we get ready to leave here in just a minute, Heavenly Father, would you please go with us? Lord, may this challenge go with us. Lord, I pray as we get home and, Lord, get ourselves ready and lay down in the bed and begin our meditations upon our walk with God today, Lord, I pray that, Lord, it would ring true and ring real in our heart, Lord, areas of our life where maybe it's been a while since we allowed ourselves to have it kicked up a notch. And so, Lord, work in us, work in our church and in our families. And Lord, these individuals here tonight that sure do need a touch from heaven. Lord, they need to kick it up a notch. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, if they're going to get what they need, Lord, that might very well be the key. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you take, Lord, this feeble attempt of preaching and, Lord, burn it in their heart. And Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that great, great things would happen in days to come.
We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.